One of my three jobs is being an artist. I draw tactical drawings of the SWAT team and the special operation group around the country. I love doing that kind of thing. To draw some of my drawings, I had to make a composite of the several different photos to accomplish what I wanted to portray. Here's one example. To draw a scene of the police helicopter hovering over the criminal's stronghold and with a SWAT officer inside a pointing gun downward, covering the aerial thing. To have that, because I cannot really take a picture of doing actual, because it costs $2,500 to fly the chopper in the air for an hour. So the sheriff department will, if I ask that, they will say, what? Forget it, I'm not asking that. They happen to have the picture of the original photo of the chopper flying. This is the picture. Like that. The problem with this is, chopper pilot is not looking down the way I want him. And this SWAT officer friend of mine, he's not pointing gun downward. So I had to come up with another idea. So I, for his face, I took another photo. It's someone I know, having to put his helmet on and sunglasses, just like a cop's with mirror glasses, right? He even has a cop mustache. You know, the cop has a mustache, right? It's what we call the department-issued mustache. They all look alike because they pull it off and give it to somebody next shift guy. And then another picture, I asked the SWAT officer to get on the chopper. Of course, it's on the ground and having to point the gun downrange. So I took a picture of that, and I combined all three of them. I put them all together in Photoshop, in my computer program, in my computer, made into one photo. And from that, I started to draw freehand. It took about a month to finish the drawing. This is the result. See that? He's looking down and pointing a gun. I titled this, Up Here, Scumbag. That's how they talk. So if I didn't tell you where I got the photo resource, you wouldn't know how I put this together, right? You know what they say? Seeing is what? Believing. So is it seeing really believing? I fooled you, didn't I? Nowadays, in Hollywood, the majority of special effect is done on they call blue screen or green screen. Majority of the movie is done that way. So it's no longer seeing is believing. Let me say it this way. If you only can believe what you see, that is not faith. Let me say one more time. If you only can believe what you see, that is not faith. It should be called eyewitnessing a proof. Go to, keep your finger in John chapter 9. Go to Hebrews chapter 11, please. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It reads, now faith is the substance of the things hoped for and the evidence of the things not seen. See that? You cannot say you have a faith when you only believe what you see. Faith is the believing the things that you do not see. The former blind man now reached the climax of his faith and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. At the beginning, he was called a man called Jesus. And then he changed to, while in the during the process of interrogation by the Pharisees, he called a prophet. And then later in verse 33, we will find out is a man from God. And verse 38, we'll find him calling him Lord. Progressive revolution is happening here. So we will see this wonderful salvation moment right in front of our eyes this morning of this man. To this man, Jesus is no longer a healer, and he's not only that he get to see what's around him, but also he get to see the Savior who gave him salvation and give him sight. He not only have the physical eyesight, he get to have a spiritual eyesight. Let's stop and pray. Father, As we sing, open the eyes of our heart, Lord. You gave us physical eyes for the majority of people around this world. But what we really want is we want the eyes of our heart to be open toward you, that we may see what you want us to see, that we may see what you want us to do. With a simple obedience, with a simple glad heart in all of us, that we pursue the things of God rather than things of men. Father, remind us we belong to you. Let us not do the things that we want, but yours. And we pray for President Obama's salvation, whatever it takes for you to get his attention. Indeed, it was a sad night a few days ago that the lawmaker of the New York State, it's illegal for the homosexual to get married, which is against your will. Forgive us, Lord. And we pray for the safety of our troops and law enforcement personnel and firefighters, and especially the one who attend our church. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Verse 35, chapter 9 in John. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" You know, this is absolutely beyond cool. Why is it so cool? Because, note this, Jesus heard they cast him out. What does he say? When he, that's a Jesus, okay? Jesus found him, the beggar, the former blind man. This is not something what other gods would do. Other gods tell people to come to him, come to them. Our God look for us. You hear me? This reminds me to keep your finger there in John chapter 9 and go to Luke chapter 15, please. This will remind me of the verse from here, chapter 15, verse 4. Because this man was excommunicated, he went out to look for him. We don't know where Jesus found him. He found him. Verse 4 of chapter 15. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after one which is lost until he finds it? Folks, that is the heart of God. That is heart of God. Do you know Jesus is still looking for people whom he can help? He's looking for sinners to forgive, and looking for discouraged to encourage, and looking for downcast to give hope, and looking for condemned to bless. When I hear the new born-again Christian says, "Well, I found God," I kind of have to laugh inside of my heart, because I know what that meant. Does it mean that God, this great, gigantic, ginormous God, is lost somewhere in the universe? We have to go send somebody in the universe to find him? No. We are the ones who are lost without him. You don't know. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he's calling your name right now. If you are not born-again Christian, he's calling your name right now. And his arms stretch out wide to receive you, to embrace you, to take you into his heart. All you have to do is just turn your heart toward him and commit your life to him. As I have mentioned this before, phrase "the Son of God" has a direct reference to God himself. Not in the sense of an offspring of God the Father, as like the Jehovah's Witness and Mormon's false doctrine says. Rather, he is a second person in the Trinity. You know, this is something that a lot of unbelievers have a problem. How can one God be God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. I have a simple answer for them. That's why he's God, you are not. They said it's impossible. Of course it's impossible. That's what he can do. We cannot. I'm not going to even make an illustration. Some people say that it's water, ice, and vapor. That's a limit for that. Just say, I don't know how, but he is God. He is God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, according to the Bible. Flat out. The ancient Jews, as well as current Jews, then connect Son of God as with the Messiah, who is God himself. Many of us know what kinds of answer Peter, one of the apostles, one of the disciples of Jesus Christ, gave the Lord when they were asked in Matthew chapter 16. So go there, Matthew 16, verse 15, please. He said to them, Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, son of Simon Bar-Jonah, for the flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Some would say, "Oh, yeah, Peter said that so he can get some brownie point from Jesus." I don't think so. What about the comment made by the Satan himself in Matthew chapter 4, verse 3? Remember that thing that in the wilderness during the temptation, 40 days and 40 nights? So go to Matthew chapter 4, please. Let's hear from the enemy's mouth. Now, when the tempter, you might want to put the parenthesis there and write Satan or the devil, came to him, said, "If you are Son of God, command that this stone become bread." Now, did Satan know that Jesus is the Messiah? You betcha. He knew it, and he was in heaven before he fell down from heaven. Remember, he was one of the archangels known as Lucifer. He knew Jesus, second person in Trinity. Why did he say, "If you're Son of God"? Oh, he knows how to make the people to doubt. Remember, Jesus is a person at this time, a man, 100% man, 100% God. At this time, he's been practically starving to death. And Satan also remembered what God the Father said to him in Genesis chapter 3. Go to Genesis chapter 3, please. If you're not familiar with the Calvary Chapel, this is what we do. We go through the Bible. Why go through the Bible? Because God is the voice of God. What else do you want, right? Chapter 3, verse 15 of Genesis, please. God speaking, "And I," that is God, "put the enmity between you," that is Satan, "and the woman," that is Eve, "and between your seed and her seed," that's with a capital S, which means Jesus Christ. "He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Who else can we find? Who else can we find to link between Son of God, Messiah, equal God? Do you think a high priest of that time would know that kind of thing? What do you think? No duh, right? So go to Matthew chapter 26, please. Matthew 26. This time we are in the presence of the Caiaphas, the high priest. Matthew chapter 26, verse 62. The high priest arose and said to him, "Do you answer nothing? What is it this man testify against you?" But Jesus kept silent, and the high priest answered and said to him, "I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are Christ." What is a Christ? That's a Greek version of a Messiah. They know what the Messiah means. This Jewish people know exactly. Christ, the Son of God. See that? Messiah, the Son of God, connecting each other. Jesus said to him, "It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the cloud of the heaven." Verse 65, then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. Note that word, please. He, Jesus, has spoken blasphemy. What does it mean? If the Son of God, if Messiah is not God, this shouldn't be blasphemy. Do you understand the conclusion I'm drawing from here? If the Christ means something other than God, if the Messiah is something other than God, if the Son of God is something other than God, he cannot charge him with a blasphemy. Do you understand? Hello? Are you guys awake? No, you're not awake? Do you understand what I'm saying? High priest knew exactly the Son of God, the Messiah, Christ, is God. Caiaphas didn't think that the Son of God means... If the Caiaphas didn't think that the Son of God means God himself, he would not say that Jesus was blaspheming. Now, go down to verse 36 of chapter 9, please, in John. He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may, this is a beggar speaking, I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, it is he who is talking with you. Then, verse 38 says, he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Would you not word worshipped him? Folks, this is the moment of a conversion for this man. His eternal address has been just changed from the hell to heaven. The moment he said, the Lord, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. Even though this man was excommunicated from the society, he didn't care. Well, obviously the people who excommunicated, the religious rulers, didn't care whether he was dead or alive before. Now, he can see he's the proof of God's power. They don't have nothing to do with him, and they want to get rid of him from their sight permanently. Some compassion they have, right? Jesus said to the former blind man that you have seen him, and it is he who is talking to you in verse 37. If you are hearing the word coming out of my mouth, you are hearing from God. And you may say, well, that's a bold claim. It's not because I have anything fancy to tell you or to declare to you. It's because I'm declaring the word of God. I have a full authority of the Bible behind me. So when I'm speaking to you with the word of God, you better hear. It's a voice of God speaking to you. Yes, you cannot see the Jesus Christ through your physical eyes, but if you are willing to believe Jesus Christ, you will get to know him. You will get to hear him. You will get to understand his heart. I remember my own salvation moment. It was sometime January of 1987. God's been working in my heart for some time. I did not know that. We were attending Grace Chapel. How many of you guys know Grace Chapel in Calvary, in Tucson? A few people. Now it's known as Grace to the Nation and on Pima Street. We were attending there. We were sitting in the last row, way in the back. Church was over. Pastor dismissed us. We were getting out that long pew. At the end of the pew, all I had to do was just turn right, take a 4 steps, I would be at the door without knowing Jesus. At the brief moment, I believe some invisible hand, I cannot tell what it was, just turned my shoulder to the left. I didn't know what I was doing. There was no altar call. There was no salvation message. I walked down the long aisle, went down to the altar, knelt, and cried my eyeballs out and asked God to forgive me. That was the moment. Some people say, well, newborn Christian zeal will diminish. After 24 years, I still have that newborn zeal Christian. Do not think that people will change. As long as they love God, as long as they keep the first love, they will not change. If you notice that this man, in verse 38, it ends with he worshipped him. This word is very important. If the Jesus Christ is not God, then why did he accept worship from another man? Worship is bestowed for one person only, that is the deity, God. Apostle Peter, Apostle Paul, and Barnabas in the book of Acts, when the people were trying to worship them, what did they do? They refused it. In chapter 19 of the book of Revelation, verse 10, when the Apostle John prostrated himself in front of the angel and tried to worship an angel, what did the angel say? Get up. Do not worship. Do not do that. He refused it. But Jesus did not refuse the worship of this man. Why? Because he's God. The original Greek word for the worship is proskuneo. It's the word also used in John chapter 4, verse 23. Go there, John chapter 4, verse 23. Jesus speaking to the woman, a Samaritan woman to be exact, and at the well. If you have a red letter Bible, of course this would be in red letter. But the hour is coming, and now is when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For Father is seeking such to worship Him. All this word, in Greek word, is proskuneo, the same word. So I checked my Bible dictionary. It says that worship means a kneeling or prostration to do homage to God. Did you get that? Homage to God. It is far more than simple thank you. This man was not thanking Jesus for the healing. Rather, he is giving homage to the Lord as his God. Am I making sense to you? Verse 39, please. And Jesus said, for the judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. Verse 40, then some of the Pharisees, by the way, these Pharisees just tagging along with Jesus, was hoping that he would say something, he would do something wrong against the law. So far they haven't found anything. Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this word and they said to him, are we blind also? Jesus said to them, if you are blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains. If someone take this first portion of chapter verse 39 out of context, they would say, I thought Jesus came to this world to save the world, not to condemn the world or to judge the world. You're right. But that's not what Jesus meant here. What Jesus said does not contradict John 3:16. To understand what he meant here in verse 39, we have to go back to John 3:17 through 20, please. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. Let me read that verse 18 again. Listen carefully, please. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and the man loved the darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. By people's own choice against God, their decision condemned themselves to be judged by Him. They cannot say that God didn't do anything to save them. What else God can do more than sending His only Son to save them and forgive their sins? There's nothing, absolutely nothing more. The reason for our Lord's coming to this earth 2,000 years ago was salvation. And the result is the condemnation for those who do not believe Jesus Christ. The same sun that bring beauty out of the seed will expose the creepy insects hiding under the rocks. The same sun that melt the wax will harden the clay. One will find Christ, the other one will reject Christ. And someone said, why didn't God create everybody to accept Christ? Then everybody will go to heaven. Have you ever seen one of those dolls that you push button? Now it used to be the pulling the string, right? Now it's a digital, so you push button and it responds to you. Probably pretty soon they're going to speak by themselves. You can imagine how long they're going to talk. If that doll, you push that button, hi Jackie, I love you. I'm so touched, right? Because it tells me it loves me. But if my grandson, because he loves me, say, Grandpa, I love you. What do you want, son? I'll give it to you, anything you want. I'm not so touched by the little doll digitally recorded saying, I love you, but I'm touched by my grandson who will say, I love you, Grandpa. Why? Doll does not have a heart. It's a force to speak to me. When I push, it's simply reacting to me. My grandson will say, he's only 5 months, so he cannot say that kind of thing yet. I'm brainwashing him, though. But he will someday. Because he loves me, he will say that to me. Same thing with God. If we truly love God, we will say, I love you, Father. I love you, Jesus. That means more than God simply saying, you will love me no matter what. That's not what God wants. It has to come from our heart. Religious leaders were blind spiritually and would not admit. Therefore, the light of the truth only made them blinder. If there is such a word like that, I'm making the word as I go. This form of blind man admit and his need, and he received both physical and spiritual sight. No one is more so blind as he who will not see, and the one who thinks he has all truth. And there is nothing more for him to learn. I have a good example. An English philosopher, A.C. Grayling, this man, spent 30 years compiling the, I don't know if you heard this word, this book name, title, The Good Book, A Humanist Bible. I do not recommend waste money on this thing. A Good Book, A Humanist Bible. It's recently published, and he is raised without religion when he was a kid. He is formally taught at Oxford University in England. Now he's teaching at the University of London. This book quotes many secular philosophers as to counteract the Bible, Christian Bible. He thinks that Christianity is almost self-evident absurd. I could not believe in the sin committed by the Eve in the Garden of Eden was all that serious, he continues. It would seem to me that knowledge was a good thing to have. You know, it sounds all right, but sadly, he missed the whole point. God is not jealous about Adam and Eve having a knowledge. You know what God was concerned about? By disobedience from their pride would bring physical and spiritual death to the mankind. Not just two of them, the entire mankind. That's what God did not want to happen. The disobedience from their pride. You know, obviously Grayling is a well-educated man to be the professor of the Oxford, professor of the University of London. And so he's a well-accomplished man and in human perspective. But spiritually, he's a blind man, and he doesn't even admit it. He will find out someday when he sees his Maker face to face. And this is a profound, well-known atheist, A.C. Grayling. Very influential among the atheist community. But he will get to see it, his Maker. Face to face, it'll be too late for him to change his mind. People who believe in evolution theory and atheists have one thing in common. They are very staunch about their religion and truth. And some might object, atheists do not have religion. That's why they are atheists. Didn't you get that, preacher? I know that. But listen to me. They firmly believe that there is no God under no circumstance. Even the whole creation speaks the handiwork of God. They deny with their faith in the idea of non-existence of God. Here's the final line. In other words, a person has to have a faith in atheism to believe that there is no God. Do you understand? They have to have a faith in atheism. To them, it is a religion. To them, they themselves are gods. Listening Pharisees were bothered by what Jesus just said. And that's why they asked, are we blind also? They were hoping that Jesus said, no, you're not blind. And they're hoping the negative answer from Jesus, but Jesus already told them in Matthew chapter 15, blind leaders of the blind. So there is the answer. These people were self-righteous because they are blinded by their own pride, their self-righteousness, and their tradition, and their false interpretation of the God's word. Despite all the miracles that Jesus performed in the last 2.5 years, the Pharisees chose to ignore all the evidence. And because what Jesus said threatened their pride and carnal desire, it is the same for for the unbelievers of our year 2011, right now. If you are unbelievers of Jesus Christ, you may say, I'm a Christian because I was born in America. No, no, no. Not according to my Bible. According to my Bible, unless you're born again, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. That's not what I say. This is what the God's word, the absolute truth and final authority says. You may not like it. And you may say, I'm not coming back to this church. That's fine. But guess what? You're accountable for what you just heard. You hear me? You're just accountable for what you just heard. This is the truth. And people will say, well, that's not how I interpret the Bible. By all means, you know what I just said? The Pharisees are blinded by their false interpretation of God's word because of their pride, because of their self-righteousness. They hated Jesus so much that they are willing to crucify him. Guess what? The unbelievers, they are willing to crucify him if he was born now. If you came to our church for the first time, you are not a born-again Christian, this is the most important decision you will ever make. More than buying your car, more than buying your house, more than getting a good job. You know why? Because your eternity is dependent on it. You can ignore the invitation from Jesus Christ. And that's the only way to get to heaven. Or you can walk out the door. And then you can walk out the door. But you will never be able to erase that thought. Because the Holy Spirit will remind you. If you choose to ignore completely to the point of your death, when you see your Maker face to face, He will remind you. Remember that broken English speaking preacher? He told you this, the truth, my truth, and you ignored it. You need to make a right choice for your eternal life at this point. Contrary to the atheist A.C. Grayling's belief, there is a God who will judge what you decide on this earth, accepting Jesus Christ into your heart or rejecting Him. Don't be like this prideful Pharisees who thought they were fine. If you can hear them, if you can hear their voice coming from the other side, eternal condemnation, they will tell you right now, choose Jesus. I have two applications for you. Number one, God can be as far as the other side of the universe when we reject Him. But He is as close as our next heartbeat when we seek Him with a sincere heart. Second application. Spiritual blindness caused by our own pride, our own self-righteousness, our own tradition, our own false interpretation of God's Word. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. And we're asking You to go with us as we start the new week. Let us exalt Your holy name with our lives, with our words. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.